Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Right then, well, I'm just heading back from dropping off the kids at school. I hope everyone's okay. We are fully into December Christmas madness. Yesterday was two parents' evenings and a karate demonstration. We've got Christmas carols, a mufti day, a performing arts demonstration, Christmas jumper day, which is different to the mufti day. I don't know where any of them are yet. Christmas fair, and I've not started Christmas shopping yet. So, yeah, I feel you if you're feeling a little frazzled. But we'll be okay. And in this episode, I'm talking with the Scummy Mummies. So we've known each other a few years, and they are excellent long lunch companions, although I inevitably try to keep up with them and inevitably fail badly because they're much better drinkers than I am. But I love what they do. They take all the guff of the rush hour, so the tiredness, the rows with your partner, the school run, the changing bodies, the demands of emails and WhatsApp groups, and they make it really bloody funny. I went to see their show twice last week, and it's such a good night out where you're letting someone else entertain you, and you can laugh at the stuff that normally you might sit and just feel a bit resentful about. I think that's a really healthy way to deal with it, and you're not on your own because you're with a load of other people who are equally feeling the same. And I actually took Doug to one of the times I went, and the Scummies delighted in singling him out of the very female audience and sharing our sex life with 500 people who live locally to me. So it was a lot of fun. There's some chat in this episode about Father Christmas and the Tooth Fairy you might not want kids of a certain age to hear, and I hope you enjoy it. Give us a review if you do, and feel free to share away. It just helps us to let more people hear it. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Steph, and welcome to the Don't Buy Her Flowers podcast. I am here today with Ellie Gibson and Helen Thorne, the Scummy Mummies.
Hello.
Hello, Stephanie.
A comedy duo is what you are.
That's literally the definition of us, yes.
Just the two of us.
Just the two of you. But I went back and listened to your very first podcast.
Oh, no.
Oh, God, no.
I was thinking, I don't think you would want to hear it, but it was really lovely. First of all, there's a clean rating on it, so things have changed quite dramatically. You bleeped out any swears.
Oh, I know, yes.
But just to go back a step, you guys met, so you met in 2013 in a aircraft, no, what, not an aircraft hangar, in a
in a shipping.
That's right, I was a pilot, she was an air hostess. It was
in
love
a shipping
at first sight,
container. Yeah.
We had it off in the toilet.
But you had really small babies.
Yeah.
What were you doing?
I know, well, so our boys were born in June 2010. Unexpectedly, they're born 11 days apart by the same midwife, and Ellie and I actually live around the corner from each other, but didn't know each other as mothers. We met in the shittiest stand-up venue in London, under a flyover in Deptford. And yeah, we both of us had gone into stand-up, yeah, when the boys were quite, well, 18 months or something, like just a bit over that.
So, yeah.
It's quite a weird thing to do.
Well, I got into it because, Charlie was born in June 2010. And then, in 2013, you know, when you just start to get a little bit more sleep and you start to get yourself back a little bit. And I was back to work, but I was only doing 2 days a week. And I thought, oh, I'd like something that's for me now. I'd like to. And I thought, I've always wanted to try stand up. But I'd always never really done it, I realised, because I was like, oh, what if I fail at this? Do you know what I mean? If I fail at it, then not so much the failure I couldn't cope with, but then I've lost that dream. I've lost that idea. I know that avenue is closed
off. It's a better dream if you don't do it. Because
then
keep...
it's still a dream. If it turns out you can't do it, you can't do it.
Yeah.
So I went and did this comedy course, because at that point it didn't matter, because actually I really liked, and this is, you know, we don't put this in the show, but I really liked being a mum and I liked having a baby. I had a lot of support and I was very lucky and all of that. So I was like, well, I'm really happy at home, so I'm going to go and try this thing. And if it doesn't matter, if it doesn't work, it doesn't matter, because I get to come home to this and this is all right. So, but I would quite like an excuse to go to a pub for 3 hours every Monday. So that's what I did and I absolutely loved it. And
what
then,
was your what was your material at that point?
At that point, it wasn't about parenting or motherhood or any of that, because, again, I wanted something that was sort of separate from all of that. So it was just, it was silly. I used to have a whole bit that I did for ages where I would open, I would bring a guitar, and I would always bring a proper guitar case with me to gigs and stuff. And then I would open it on stage and go, I'd do a song. And in it would be a tiny Early Learning Centre plastic guitar that I wouldn't explain or anything. And then I'd play a song on this guitar about someone having sex with their boyfriend and him making her wear a Billy Piper mask, which was a real thing in the garden. It was a letter in the garden. So, yeah, very silly and a bit surreal. But yeah, it was good. It was a good laugh. And then I met Helen on my third gig.
She was so cool. She was so cool.
So I've heard this story before, but I love that you paint her like the Fonz.
She was the Fonz. She came out in a leather jacket, really cool, really confident, and, you know, really funny material. And I thought, oh, she's been going for ages. She's this, you know, cool stand-up. And it was like that. But that's actually how Mel and Sue met. They met each other at a comedy night in Cambridge. And I get that connection. You just go, oh, my God, that woman is really awesome. And I couldn't wait to talk to Ellie after the gig. I thought, oh, you know, you just, you know, I think there's something about wanting to be someone's friend. It's a different kind of feeling to love, or, you know, in a romantic sense, but it is that sort of feeling. And it was a very unexpected place to meet someone who's going to change your life. It's in a shipping container, which just mainly in the audience was my 5 friends and 2 Spanish tourists.
Who were lost.
Yeah, who were lost, wearing a blanket over their knees because it was so cold. Yeah,
It did change your lives. Yeah. Really, like, without...
Literally.
Sort of beefing it up, but it's...
Yeah, I'd be...
What you're doing now is obviously, well, 2013, so it's a lot of years of growth.
Yes, it is almost quite frightening to think if one of us hadn't gone to that gig that night, if we hadn't been asked, or if when we went to book it they already had enough comedians, or if, you know, a multitude of things could have happened, then we might not be...
The love story of the Scummies wouldn't be.
We wouldn't have as nice as shoes, that's what we're saying.
Yeah. We wouldn't be sitting in a mediocre hotel room with a woman who doesn't sell flowers, that's what we're saying.
That's me. But your first podcast, so when did you last listen to it?
Never.
A couple years ago. Yeah, it's earnest.
It's the game, so it's the handbag surprise where you find things in each other's handbag. And also, but it's interesting from the evolution, because that it was much more about motherhood. It was much more about early motherhood, because that's the phase you were in.
Yeah,
it was like a small rebellion.
Yeah,
compared to now, when you're up on stage talking about, well, let's talk about the show.
Yeah,
there was the
this is a therapy session. Let's talk about the show.
It
was so good. And I had old mates next to me who were, obviously we know each other really well, but we don't see each other all the time. And we were clutching each other's knees when we laughed, you know, like you were clutching onto each other.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
And it was there was one of the songs that talked about skin tags and hair.
Yeah.
That one. We've never really had a conversation where we've talked about, oh, fucking skin tags.
Yeah, when I say I've got piles and skin tags.
Yeah.
And everyone's like going, yeah, me too.
But also, you had teens, which you didn't obviously used to do as your kids are getting older.
Yeah.
And because it used to be more primary school.
But
also... You have got divorced this year.
Yeah.
So that is a whole other angle.
I know. Wasn't that an absolute gift? I mean...
Content-wise.
Thank you, ex-husband, for having an affair. Yes. No, it was an absolute gift. And I love it because I'm connecting to a whole new section of the audience. And I remember a couple of years ago, before I got separated, we sort of said we should really acknowledge single mums. And we were really... we were really conscious of how we framed it because we didn't want to be patronising and all that sort of stuff. But actually to be at or have that kind of connection with a whole group of... Because, yeah, one in three parents are single parents.
Yeah.
You know, one in three families are single families. So having that is really great, actually. And, yeah, and now we've got kids who are, you know, Joe's still quite little, but then we've got the tweens and now I've got a teenager. So actually we've got a broader reach. Mm. And we do ask in the audience, like, who's got tweens and teens? And there was a big cheer, actually. Our audience are growing as well.
Yeah.
And there was a lot of grannies. We had a whole row of grannies in the front row.
Yeah. God, who got out for a fag at half time. Yeah. Late back in.
Yeah.
But I think the teen audience is really interesting one because there isn't that much for that audience.
No.
Because people don't want to, I think quite often mums aren't talking about it because they don't want to say anything about their tip. You're not talking about your own children.
No, it has to be a very broad brushstroke, I think. You know, yeah. I mean, I did use a line once in the show when I was talking about dating, and my daughter saw a whole lot of different men in my WhatsApp, and she said, "Mummy, we're going to have a chat." And she said, "Look, you text all these men, you have all these different men that you see. You're going to have to choose one of them and let the others know that he's the chosen one." I was like, "No, I don't." And she went, "Fine, you can have three."
Three's enough.
Three is more than enough.
Three holes.
Yeah.
Well, and that was the bit where you did where you started talking about different dick pics you've seen.
Yeah.
And I want to talk about the croissant because until you mentioned that to me the other day, I'd not heard of a croissant.
Yeah. Well, you know, I've dated pastry chefs. I've dated all sorts. God, the cocks come in all shapes and sizes.
You've never had one that's fatter in the middle.
Yeah, yeah. That's kind of goes up.
I don't think I have.
Ooh, sure. Wow.
But then when you explained what a croissant willy was, I was like, Oh yeah.
little chode.
You know how the tip is sort of folded over at the top. You know.
No. Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, "What the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass!" So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
In 2017 was Fish Finger Gate.
Mm.
Yes. Now that was...
Which you were involved in.
Yeah,
yes.
But that was... So that was one morning... I was pregnant, actually, with Frank. I woke up one morning and I'd leave my phone downstairs and it was just buzzing and whirring. And there was an article in the Daily Mail that was about us being slummy mummies, but also questioning whether we were ruining society or something like that.
And we used to have a joke about giving our kids fish fingers and not even bothering to cook them, you know, just giving them frozen fish fingers for a nice fishy lolly.
Yeah.
And we put that in our moderately selling book. And
And they quoted that in this Daily Mail article as if that was a real thing that we actually would do.
Like frozen tapas or something.
Yeah, yeah. Captain Just, Birdseye sashimi.
And they're proud of it. And I was like, I'm not proud of it because it's not. It's fictional, you moron.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It was hilarious.
But the best thing about that was that not only did like the community, I think that we got thousands more followers after that with people going, this is awful, don't treat women like this. Like, who loved...
Yeah, the backlash was magnificent. Yeah.
And they've been loving the comedy and the honesty and all that stuff because it wasn't really there before that. I think it's really easy for us now to kind of go, oh, that honest motherhood is, you know, thing. But it wasn't around... before that, I don't think. Stuff that you guys have
done. We're pioneers, definitely.
I think that's what I'm trying to say.
We're pioneers, basically.
But also, like, the bit that... the serious side of it is that if you don't have that, then everyone's sitting there thinking that they have to be doing this in a certain way and it's really stressful. You're so vulnerable when you first have babies.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, you don't want to say you're giving people permission to be... just themselves. And we're not trying to promote, you know, neglect, but like, I think, you know, it is just hard. And I think there are all these societal pressures and all that sort of stuff. And when I had my first child 13 years ago, I had What to Expect When Expecting, like that book, and Annabelle Carmel, and, you know, and Gina Ford was floating about. And everyone was like going through and highlighting and going, oh, my baby should be, you know, picking up a Cheerio at 6 months and all this.
It's not doing it.
And you just felt like a failure, or if you couldn't breastfeed or whatever. And I think, I think it's good to have a laugh about it as well, because we're our own worst enemies and we compare ourselves too much. And there is still a little bit about that in Instagram, especially around Christmas time. Oh my God, all the matching pajamas and the elaborate door openings.
That's quite insane.
Yeah.
But also, you're looking at it. I'm looking at it going, oh, that's ridiculous. But it still seeps in where you're kind of going, oh, I haven't done
it. It's not magical enough.
Well, we've just had COVID for the last couple of weeks.
Festive.
Special dose of COVID.
Yeah.
I deleted Instagram off my phone after a few days. Because if you're in bed, well, you're doing nothing, aren't you? It's even worse. Going, oh, I feel so rubbish. And, oh, everyone else is really great and having a great time.
Yeah, I rarely look at it, to be honest.
You're not, but you're more like Helen's more like...
Oh, yeah, no, it means nothing to me.
you're more of a poster.
Yeah.
But I feel like you will post, but you don't look.
I do have a secret Instagram account where I just follow, because obviously we share Scummy Mummies, but I just follow things that I really like and that make me happy, like food, basically food and bullet journals and pictures of Italy. That's all I really ever want to see, to be honest. And that I find that quite soothing.
But maybe you don't feel as overwhelmed as you might have done when the kids were smaller, I don't know, but do you feel... like you don't know what you're doing and you're out of control and you're stressed and you're anxious, does it all float by you?
Oh, I'm not. Yeah, I sit in a zen-like haze like some sort of Buddha. That's right, Steph. I don't know. I definitely feel stressed a lot. There's just so much to do, isn't it? But I don't think that's to do with Instagram. There's just so much shit to do. I don't know any women in our sort of situation who are like, oh, yes, I just get through every day and then sit and then have a lovely bath for four hours and go to sleep. We've all got loads to do. But yeah, I think I've always been quite good at not... I don't worry too much about what everybody else is up to. I just keep my head down and get on with it. And I think that's a benefit in comedy and in life.
Christmas is coming.
Thank you, yes.
How are we feeling about that?
I like Christmas. I'm up for it.
What happens in your house?
What happens in our house? We get pissed. That's pretty standard. I will tell you, Stephanie, we do the Elf on the Shelf.
You're judging me. So we're in early December and I have seen there's people posting the Elf and then there's people posting who are very upset about the Elf and like trying to say, guys, you don't all have to do an
Elf. And even as someone who does the Elf, I don't give a fuck if you do the Elf.
There's more to it though, isn't it? This is about people feeling like they're not doing enough.
Yeah, yeah. And I'm like, I can't help that.
No.
But why would you want to spoil my fun?
Yeah, right? And also, we don't do that. I remember Buster
asking. No, because you're not doing it to make other people feel shit.
No.
You're doing it because you get joy from it.
To make my children feel happy.
Except you're not there, so who's doing it?
No, exactly.
And these guys are currently on a 4-day tour, so you're leaving. You've done one day.
She's got a spreadsheet, everybody.
I do. I have a spreadsheet. I have an Excel. I can send it to you if you like. I have an Excel spreadsheet with every day, and I do it every year. Pete, because it drives Pete a bit mad, because I put every day, and then I put all the elf activities, and then all the props that we need, and where we need to source the props if we need the props, and then I put where I am on that day. So if I'm not, I'm in Twickenham. Pete knows he's got to fucking
wrap the toilet in wrapping paper.
He does do it, and he sort of loathes it and me for that. But he does it, and he sends me a little. I think he secretly quite likes it. He sent me a little picture.
Especially if you've given him specifics of what
exactly.
He's got to do.
Lovely.
You can't fuck it up.
But very often I sort of forget, or I don't buy the props, or something goes wrong, and he has to come up with something and
elaborate.
Like, But they're not every day. It's not always wrapping the toilet or doing a complicated thing. Sometimes, like, one of our favourite ones is we just draw a moustache or write, not twat, but whatever the child, you know, poo on our head with eyeliner and go, oh, the elf's written on my head in eyeliner. And that's a 30-second job, do you know what I mean?
So you've probably not got that long before the kids aren't... They're going to be too old.
Because how old's Joe? 7.
Joe's 7.
Oh,
the
he's
big
got
one,
a little while.
The big one knows.
Right.
And when he worked it out... I was like, well, look, you know, next year you can help. You can help us with the elf. And he went, no, I still want it to be a surprise.
Ruin the magic of
Christmas. Yeah, that's sweet.
So, you know, it's a laugh.
We don't have an elf, but the Tooth Fairy the other day, can you believe it, forgot to come.
Three nights running.
It's that long COVID she's got. Yeah.
Doug, I heard this shouting going on downstairs and I was like, oh God, who's Doug angry? He's on the phone being really angry. And I went down and he was doing this elaborate. He's phoned the Tooth Fairy and was going, I can't believe you didn't come. My children are really disappointed. Buster and Mabel are sitting on the sofa.
Oh my God, that's brilliant.
I'm pretty sure that they know that there's no such thing, especially because we're so shit. Because they go to bed a bit later now.
Yeah,
they're 9 and 11.
Yeah, of course.
You've got about an hour and then I'm asleep.
Yeah.
Anyway, I heard all this shouting. Then I went, oh, I'm so sorry. I hope you get better soon. I'm so sorry. Get better soon. And he made the Tooth Fairy had COVID. But we were at home with COVID and it was all got quite dramatic. But he gave him £3. And I was like, what? And he's like, well, it was
a back is interest.
Yeah. And Buster's just looking really smug because he knows.
Oh, yeah.
But then we had Santa went to preschool. And Frank is 4, and he came home so happy. And he was like, Santa asked me about Buster and Mabel. Because it's the same nursery that they went to.
Yeah.
So they obviously, and he thought Santa is magical.
Oh, that is a delight.
And it is really nice. I'm like, well, we're probably, because as I said, I've got 5, so I'm 4th. They told me Santa wasn't real when I was 4.
I know. Oh, yikes.
I know. The older ones, they've ruined it.
Have you seen a professional about it?
I know.
Have
I think
talked to someone?
Probably need to. Because my son, Hugo, very sweet, only found out this year that Santa wasn't real. Mm. And it was via Amazon, Amazon account. He was scrolling through Amazon and saw his Christmas presents. And he was devastated. And actually, I cried. He came in and said, Mummy, was I such a bad boy that you had to buy me the Christmas presents and Santa didn't
come to me? He still hadn't realised it was... Oh, God.
Yeah, and I had to look him in the eye and said, no, darling, Santa's not real, it's me. And he was like... And then he cried and I held him and we were in bed. And then he went, and the Easter Bunny too! I was like, yes. And then he went, oh, God, the Tooth Fairy! And it was like a guillotine of childhood.
Yeah.
And I found that quite full on, actually.
Well, so we've all got boys who are going to secondary school in September. So it's all coming, isn't it? It's all
changing. And I'm kind of glad that he's not going into high school believing in Santa. But it was very sweet. And also because he's my second and, you know, second child and last child. It was that kind of break.
And
yeah. And that is a big thing. You guys have got younger children than me. And I went, oh, wow, this is, you know, he's very knowing now.
Yeah.
But also I had to explain to him about lies. And he's like,
you've made up all this shit?
So we had to have a broader, deeper conversation about, you know, when is lying okay and things like that.
Oh,
that was really cheery. Yeah.
Why don't you ask your father?
Oh,
I know. I didn't want to make it too dark, but it did come down to that. He said, "Why do parents have to lie?" And I was like, "Fuck!" See, I've made it really funny. This podcast.
But so on that, you've got Christmas. So last year was your first Christmas as a single mum.
Yeah.
And that was probably difficult.
It was, but I had the kids to myself, and it was deep dark COVID, and we created our own traditions in that my kids don't eat turkey, and I couldn't be fucked making a big meal for three of us that they weren't going to eat. Yeah. So I said, right, each of us write down on a piece of paper our three favourite foods, and one of them has to be healthy. And so on Christmas Day, we had pizza, macaroni, cheese and roast chicken with a side of Skittles and cucumber.
Always a cucumber.
Some cherry tomatoes.
Maybe a carrot.
Roast potatoes for me. I just thought, we don't need to put this pressure on ourselves. And another single parent wrote to me and said, look, just go to M&S and go get all the things that are pre-chopped, like the pre-chopped. And I got some stuff from Cook, which I know you're a big fan of.
Yeah.
And so on the day I had this like roast chicken, like rolled stuff thing, which was fucking delicious on it, the whole thing. Meal for two, for one.
Well, it's Christmas.
That was fine. And so my ex came over. And he was there for an hour. And so I just went into my neighbour's back garden because it was COVID times and drank Buck's Fizz. And that was lovely. But this year they're going with their dad. So I'll have them in the morning.
Yeah.
And that's what we've negotiated because the kids said they want to wake up with me. And then they'll go at 12. And then I won't see them again until New Year's Eve.
Of course. You've got a big week that week. But are you feeling all right about it?
Yeah, I am, because I'm going to go to Ellie's and have champagne, and then I'm going to go to my middle brother's and have lunch, and then I'm going to go to my big brother John's for pudding and stay overnight. And so I'm going to have a lovely time, to be honest. I will feel a bit of an absence. It gets to about 9 o'clock, I think, and when the booze is worn off and you're full of food and you're like, oh, I need them. But, I think like with anything with single parenting, you just sort of, you're grateful for the good times, and also you have to be realistic, it's just one day.
My friends who are single parents, it's definitely got like that first bit. One of them was like, "There is no way that I'm not spending Christmas with my children ever." Mm. He's gonna have. We don't know how this is gonna work, and she was really pained. And actually, I think she can see some pleasure in it now for the bits when she's like, "Actually, I've worked really hard doing some of this on my own, and now I get a weekend on my own or with my new boyfriend or whatever."
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, there's lots of joy to be had. And also on Christmas Eve last year, Ellie came over with a massive Santa sack full of presents, which I think you had contributed.
I did.
In the lovely things.
Ellie was a good mate. You are a good mate. But you
the
looked
best
after
mate. Yeah.
You looked after Helen.
And I got more presents that year than I've ever got in my life. And the presents I like as well.
Yeah, let's talk about presents. Tell me, any good or actually bad presents? I want to hear about bad presents.
Bad presents. My husband Pete, he does his best. One year for my birthday, it was a couple of years ago when leopard print was, you know, peaking. It was peak leopard print.
Everything.
So he bought me a lot of lovely gifts, all of which were leopard print. So like I opened the first, I was like, "Oh, leopard print belt. Oh, that's nice. You like that?" Like, but it was a nice thing. Leopard print umbrella. Okay, yep. Always can't have too many umbrellas. Always lose.
Dad bought me an umbrella one.
Leopard print headband. I've never worn a headband, but and after about sort of item seven, like leopard print,
Pete,
you know, tampons or whatever it was, I was a bit like, I get it. It's really nice.
Yeah.
He was like, "But you like leopard print?" I was like, "Yeah."
But there was thoughtfulness in it, in that he'd seen something and he ran with it. But I had one year, so when Mabel was one and Buster was three, and I would say that's probably our darkest year.
Yeah, that's the hardest. First year of the second child is the hardest.
Yeah. And we weren't in a great place. We talk about it now, like, "Oh, that was the survival year." And if we see someone with those age children, we're like, "I want to hold you."
Yeah. It's going to be okay.
But I bought Doug for Christmas an embossed towel with his name on it.
Oh.
And
a wanking towel?
No, the reason was because it fucked me off so much that he would leave his towel somewhere or get a clean towel out every time. So it was completely...
passive aggressive.
That is your towel.
I found it the other day. I think Buster pulled it out of the cupboard and was like, why has this got Dad's name? And I was like, oh, that was a dark time. Oh. Because I would have given it to him. Like, here you go. Here's a towel. This is so you use the same towel.
Like a dog. That's your bed. Get on your bed. Get on your bed. Get your towel done.
Yeah. That was dark.
Oh, dear.
You famous. Did you get half a packet of mince pies 1 year?
From who? From Will. So he came.
Oh my god!
From my
known.
Ex. Yeah. So he came home and said, "I got you a present." And I was like, "Oh, that's unusual because he gives me nothing." And he said, "Oh, I got you this," and it was half a packet of mince pies. And I went, "Oh, nice." And then he went, "Well, they're M&S." He was awful at giving me presents. Really terrible. Or he'd say things like, well, you're too hard to buy presents for. Or
it's your fault.
Yeah. And he's like,
which is absolute horseshit. She's the easiest people in the world to buy presents.
Yeah, because she'll be really happy with
I'm happy with fucking anything. Yeah. You're right, I love you on a piece of paper.
You can give her a dog shit in a shoebox. In fact, that's an idea for me, bundle for you.
Shit in a box. I've never thought that I was particularly difficult at most things. This is in the book, though. So one birthday, he wrote in a card, here are the five reasons I love you, and then wrote two things, and then underneath wrote, oh, I could only think of two things, happy birthday. But then gave that to me. It was
maybe decide it's a terrible gift.
Don't give a card.
Also, here's two things I love about you. Just do that and just say the two.
I know. And that year because we were in Paris, and so he'd gone out, said, I need to go for a run. It was my birthday, and he came back with an Eiffel Tower key ring, and that's what he gave me, and a copy of French Vogue. Like, he'd gone to like a tobacco.
A key ring, a
copy of Vogue,
packet of fags,
and a really insincere car.
Yeah.
So I'm very happy to be single this Christmas.
But that's hard to look back and then realise all that stuff. Well, you've had therapy.
Yeah, and also I wrote it in a book and made some money out of it.
Yes. So that's fine.
But I understand. So I remember that card. I think I was there when he gave you that card. And I remember me and Pete being just jaw on the floor, like, what kind of person writes that and think that's okay? Mm. Like, it was a big alarm bell, but then like you just sort of think, well, okay, well, that's, who knows then? That's like, all right, well, that's maybe who he is, and maybe it's fine, and they're married and they've got kids, so let's not delve too deeply into what that might be saying. Let's all, like, move on. And it's really hard. It's weird, isn't it? And you look back on that and go,
oh, that was not okay. That was really not okay. Yeah. But he'd often do, I was going to buy you flowers.
I remember you saying, I didn't.
But then I didn't. But I'm going to tell you that I had a thought and then
that's
didn't.
It's even fucking worse.
It is.
He was going to set up a rival business, didn't buy her flowers. We said you might sue.
I'm in such a good place now that I'm okay talking about that. And even though it was pain.
But you're not even 2 years in.
No.
And it was funny because, so my friend Lissy, who came to the show, she's sort of slightly ahead of you in the divorce journey, but she was like, she had a wild time. Mm. She needed to do that. But she was like, I do, there are some hard bits still, but it's just a whole process, like, it's quite long, isn't it?
It's not like
you're going, oh, now I'm over it and it's all fine.
Yeah, and I remember once I got a nasty tweet going, how can you get divorced and be happy within 18 months? I was like, well, I am divorced, I'm technically divorced and I'm very happy, but it doesn't mean I don't get sideswiped or there's little stings. I had a moment the other night, I was watching Bridget Jones' Baby, and the birth scene, I burst into tears and went, oh my god, the birth of my children was with that guy, and that was my precious time, and I wouldn't take that, but now it's memories with that monster. Yeah. And I was like, but I gave him those beautiful babies and then he was really me, and that's and that was hard, and I had a big cry and I went, but everything's okay and I've got beautiful children, all that sort of stuff, and I can't change the past, but it is okay to kind of just go, fuck, that's a bit of pain.
Yeah.
And then it comes and then it goes.
Well, also, otherwise you're pretending something that's not true. Like, you can't...
Yeah.
And then people... it's the same as, like, mother, it's great, everything's fine. Like, divorce is great, everything's fine. And then it's not quiet and everyone's having complete meltdowns.
Yeah. And it's funny, like, in the last, month, I haven't really checked any of the dating apps. And I just, I've been talking to my therapist about this, and I said, I kind of want to know what it feels like to have someone who likes you
And you know, that's a different kind of thing of that kind of wildness of, oh, I just want to get fucked by as many people as possible, yeah, and all that sort of stuff. And now I just sort of haven't that need. Is, but I think you have to pass through it, as my friend says, the slut phase. You just have
You've got to do it.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Well, and it was material for the show.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
And Elle, if you're not willing to fall on that sword.
I fell on many swords in my 20s, thank you very much. I did my slut phase a very long time ago.
Yeah, but yeah, so that's fine. But yeah, no, yeah, I've enjoyed it, and I love the single mum community is fantastic, and yeah, so that's really cool. But yeah, again, I'm happy to do things for material for the show. So that's my gift.
Perfect.
Yeah.
And then, so what is? So you've got Christmas. You're doing a tour for Christmas.
Yeah.
The family.
Yeah.
What about you?
So Christmas Day, we've got my in-laws coming, Jean and Jeff, which is excellent. I actually really love Jean and Jeff, and I do get on with them, and they're a good laugh.
God,
so
this
I'm happy
is not
to have Jean and
on
Jeff.
Brand either, is
no.
it?
No,
you like
no, but this
in-laws.
Is good because I've had the divorce and the shit in-laws.
So
and
you need a mix. Okay.
Yeah, yeah, but Ellie's in-laws are genuinely really lovely people. They're really great.
They're very good. Famously, I once Helen and I very early on in our relationship. We went to visit Jean and Jeff in Cardiff. Well, specifically, we went to do a podcast with a novelist called Laura Kemp. But anyway, we stayed with Jean and Jeff, and then we went out and we went. We did this podcast, and we got smashed at Laura's house. And then when we came back, the pub in the village where they lived in Wales was still open. So we were like, all right, well, we'll have a couple more. And we ended up having... And it was one of our first big chats, I think. And
yeah.
You ended up telling me some of the things Will was up to. And I was like, oh, fuck.
Oh, God.
this is about 8 years ago or something. Anyway, and then we went back into the house and then we were hungry. So we ate the cheese... Like that they'd left out after
a cheese
dinner.
Board on a lovely
cheese
slate.
Board,
yes.
Yeah. And we did that thing that, you know, teenagers and drunk people do, where you eat, you just leave a tiny bit because you don't want it to look like you've eaten the whole thing.
Yeah.
But
actually,
we just left like the rinds, sort of nibbled rinds. And then we polished off some wine that had been left by the cooker. We thought, oh, it must have been with dinner. So we drank that. Then we went upstairs to bed. And then I went to the bathroom. And then poor Helen... was really violently sick.
Yeah, so it was like 2 a.m. and I woke up and went, oh no. Oh,
from the cheese and the white.
Yeah, and you know when you just bolt up, you're like, I'm going to be sick. But then I heard Ellie go into the bathroom and lock the door and I thought, oh no. And then I just went, and then like, because we've been drinking red wine, I was trying to hold back the vomit, but it's
you can't.
Sprayed through my fingers and like all over the roof.
It went on the ceiling.
It went on the ceiling. It went on the door.
At
it went on
the
walls.
In-laws' house.
Yeah,
my
in-laws' in the lovely spare room.
Oh,
and it went on the silky M&S throw.
Yes, on the Laura Ashley wallpaper.
On
the beige Laura Ashley wallpaper.
On the chest of drawers. On the cream carpets.
Yeah.
And it was like cheese and wine that had been kind of. Yeah, like hosed all over the house.
So I came out of the bathroom, she opened the door, and there's just this red, and I was pissed, so I thought it was hilarious. I was just laughing.
Ellie.
Oh, no. And then we cleaned it up.
And you two hadn't known each other that long.
No,
not very long.
I like that you said, oh, don't worry, when I stayed here, I weed in the bed.
I had previously.
Oh,
I think on my second trip. And I wasn't drunk. I just had a... You know, do you ever have that when you have a dream that you go to the toilet? Do you ever dream that you go to the toilet?
Yeah,
and then,
I've done that, but
you,
I haven't actually wet myself.
Yeah, no, so I'd done that. So I knew Jean would be fine with it because I'd done that. And then
Jean
was amazing. So we cleaned it up and then the next morning I came upstairs and Helen was on her knees scrubbing the carpet and Jean was just gently patting her shoulder. It was like a scene from The Sound of Music in the nunnery, and Jean was going, I think you just need to get out a bit more. And I went downstairs and I saw Jeff and I said, oh, I'm sorry we ate all that cheese last night, Jeff. And he was like, oh no, the cheese is fine, I'm just a bit worried about the wine. And I said, oh, sorry, I thought that was just leftover wine from dinner. Well, we were not supposed to drink that. And he went, no, it's that's the cooking wine that Jean has had by the hob for about 8 months.
Mate, that was probably what
that
it was.
What, yes,
that's what it was.
Three bottles of wine we've drunk beforehand.
So I saw my mum, I was staying at my mum and dad's last night, and they put a hot water bottle in my bed when I got home from the show. My mum had wrapped my pyjamas around.
Oh, my God.
But I did say to it, because I was thinking, right, in line with you, so obviously on your podcast and the show, you have your scummy confessions.
Yeah.
And my mum has got some absolute beauties, but I got her permission because I thought I probably should. But it's Christmas related. So my dad's a vicar.
Mm-hmm.
Helen's dad was also a vicar.
Yes.
And so midnight mass was a big thing for Christmas Eve. And Christmas generally, there was a bit of church stuff going on.
Oh, it's peak church season.
Yeah.
It's Advent.
Very busy time for Dad. Very busy. And they'd gone to a Christmas Eve party with their friends. And me and my sister were at home. So I think I was about 13, she was like 17. And we were doing something really wholesome, like playing Scrabble. She might have been having a gin. And my dad came home at about 10. He was like, right, I've got to go off to midnight mass. So he left the party early. I've got to go and do his work. Right. And then about an hour later, the doorbell goes. And it was my mum and dad's friends. And my mum fell out of the car. And the friends' kids were in the back of the car. And the mum was going, Helen's been working nights. I think she's very tired. And they'd had to, turns out they'd had to stop on the way home for my mum to be sick out of the car.
Wonderful.
And she would have been like in her 50s. And then she got home and she was trying to kiss the dad under the mistletoe, going, oh, go on. Like, and they're all, the kids are sitting in the back of the car watching. Oh. And then she came in, but she kept saying, someone spiked my drink. Someone spiked my drink. And me and my sister were like, And then she was like, there'll be no turkey tomorrow. There'd be no stockings. And we had to put her to bed. She was sick in the bar.
Oh no.
And you know, like now, I'm like, oh my God, Mum, you're a legend. Like she was... And Dad then, meanwhile, like all this was happening, and then Dad comes home from church. He's done his service and it's and he's up at whatever time.
Yeah, because you've got to do the 8 o'clock service the next morning.
So many services.
Yeah, I remember that very well from my dad.
Did you used to go on Christmas Day to
church? Yeah. We'd go to the children's service at like 6 o'clock, and then he'd do the midnight mass, and then there would be the 8 o'clock in the morning. Yeah.
Anyway, but I was like, Mum, and she was like, I don't mind if you share that. She's 74.
She's lived a life.
She's lived a life, but I can just
remember. We've all done it.
We had to undress her and everything. Like, she's so drunk. Terrible, Mom.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Is there anything else that you two want to talk about?
How's your sex life, Steph? What's going on? Are you doing it?
Yeah. I've had COVID. No. And Doug's had a cold. And I think the other day he was like...
COVID of the penis.
He was like, what do you reckon? I was like, snotty sex isn't good, is it?
No. No. If I'm remotely ill.
How about yours?
Yeah, you know. I mean, up and down. It goes... But yeah, we've been riddled with colds and stuff as well. And if one of us is remotely, then we're just like
snotty. It's not going to happen.
No, and you're not at your best. You want to be feeling like you're on your A game. Really.
Well, halfway through, I'm just going to blow my nose. That's not going to work.
Or if he's in you and you cough, apparently that's very painful. I've been told. If you go and it just gives it a little squeeze. Tone. Yeah.
Okay. So not that. But in 2022, let's manifest. That's what they do now, isn't it?
2022.
What do you want?
Manifest.
No,
don't
do that. I know. What do you want for 2022?
Well, see, I don't say anything because if you recall, Stephanie, you came on our podcast a couple of years ago and it was towards the end of the year and you said something like, I think, what do you want for 2020?
Oh, yeah.
And I said, well, you know, we've done 100 gigs this year. We've been on tour a lot. And as much as I love being on tour, I love my house and I love my family. And I'd really like to spend more time at home.
Oh,
do you know what? Hey. I made it happen. I made it happen for you.
You're too powerful, Ellie. You're too powerful.
I'm manifesting shit all day. Yeah. So I don't know. What about you, Thorn?
I just want to keep doing what I'm doing. Like, I really love my life and I feel very lucky that I've got it, even though I know I've worked hard for it. Yeah, I'd like us to do more gigs, bigger gigs. I think that's really fun. I love being on tour. And I next week I will buy my own house, which is that's a really big thing, to be a 43-year-old woman and own my own 3-bedroom house.
Yeah.
So I've basically... I got very poor and I paid out my ex and now I can keep my own house. So I want to kind of make my house better.
Yeah.
So that's going to be my little side project. And yeah.
I mean, you could Instagram account on there.
And, you know, it would be nice to, you know, have more exercise. I'd like to do more running, maybe not run a marathon, that sort of thing. Yeah.
Oh, that's right. We're going to do a long walk next year. We're going to walk 100 miles Lady Anne's Way. We're going to do with my father and Helen's brother. So that's
do they get along?
Yeah, they do. Yeah. And it's nice because they're all both old performers, and we're all fucking show offs. There will be no.
Just sing your way through.
Yeah.
John is bringing his accordion. He keeps threatening to bring the accordion.
Yeah, he wants to do that. So it'll be fun and a nice thing. And I will see my parents for the first time in 2 years. Over 2 years.
They're in Australia.
Yeah. So that's going to be quite emotional.
Yeah, it will be.
And see my sister since the last time I was there, I was married. And so I'm going back to see friends who've supported me through the last 2 years. Not as much as Ellie, but...
Elizabeth.
You need to flag that up. Yeah.
So I think that will be quite a thing to go back to where my relationship started and you know, be there as a single woman in Australia.
As a homeowner.
Yeah.
What about you, Stephanie? Are you going to do a Jeff Bezos and go into space?
Yeah, she's going to sell it.
What do I want for 2022? A bit more fun.
Mm.
I like being at home. I do like being at home. I think I need to... I'm doing some work on myself. I think I need to... I suppose for having small children and the business and trying to pace it, like trying to do everything, and then sort of realizing I'm not enjoying enough stuff because I'm always trying to do. So that's quite a big one, but just working that through.
Yeah.
And this year you turned 40, is that right?
I turned 40, but and I think that's that a does big... have a do yeah, you think because you two have a couple more years down the line.
Yeah,
I feel
thank
like
you.
It's yeah. You know, over the hill.
Yeah.
No, but I feel like it has done something to me. Yeah. Not a terrible thing, but it's making me think. Like, I'm trying to go, what do I actually want?
Yeah. No, I think it really shakes you.
Yeah.
And it does sort of go, fuck, we don't have a lot of time. Like,
not when you're with a reasonable body that can do stuff.
Yeah. I'm glad I ran the marathon this year. It was a lot of work, a lot of time. But, I want to do things like we're doing this big walk and stuff like that. And I think, yeah, this is it. This is, and, you know, people are getting older and you see that within your, you know,
and I think
time
I've got
your
less
parents and stuff.
Less interest in spending time with people that I'm not that bothered about spending time.
Oh,
that
God,
was
no.
a big thing from last year.
And
actually.
Saying no is a really big thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's something I've been working on as well. In fact, I've got to go. For no reason. Just had enough.
Okay. Well, thank you very much for listening. If you want to send me any messages or voice notes to podcast@don'tbuyherflowers.com. And thank
Do
you.
Do not send her flowers under no circumstances.
We did when I had COVID. Well, I didn't get flowers from anyone else. And they were lovely.
Yeah.
I did appreciate it. I don't hate whatever you say. I don't hate flowers.
I have to say it was Ellie's idea.
Was it?
And then I chose them. So it was a joint.
And then the message was saying about, hey dickhead, here's some flowers that you hate.
that was all her. Yeah. No, I can't take credit for that. Like, I would have written exactly that.
Well, thank you very much and I love you very much. And have a lovely Christmas.
Merry
you
Christmas
too.
To everyone.
Merry Christmas.
And you can follow us at Scummy Mummies and Ellie on Ellie Gibson Games.
Sorry.
God. Let me do your job. I've got a very successful Instagram account called Helen Wears a Size 18 and I've got a book out called Get Divorced, Be
Which
Happy.
Which we sell at Don't Buy Her Flowers.
Yes, you do. Thank you. Thank you very much.
It's a pleasure.
Yes, and come and see us in 2022. We are now selling tickets for our live show, scummymummies.com, and we're selling gifts with... Oh, no. Is this rivaling
no,
your...
No,
your,
go for it. Your... Because, actually, just on this, you two idiots have ordered...
ordered some mugs.
No, we had to put the price. So we thought, you know, how hard can it be selling shit on the internet? Can't be that hard.
No.
So we started selling these mugs, these wine mugs, which were quite popular, and we were knocking them out at £9 each, including postage. And then someone did the maths and was like, you're actually making a loss on each mug. It's costing you money to actually sell these mugs.
Yeah, I think we were
mugs.
Losing 22 pence a mug.
Yeah.
And Steph was just basically head in hands like, no, that's not how money works or business.
So we had to put the price up of those. But anyway, please buy them. Perhaps if you want a new gift idea, something a bit more original than just a box of some things in it, do go to scummymummyshop.com.
Oh,
scummymummyshop.com even. We've changed it.
Come on, you don't even know the URL. Come on.
We paid some people a lot of money to make our website look less shit.
Yeah.
Good.
And we're going to have to sell approximately 985,000 mugs to recoup that investment.
Well, that's 2022. We're going to sell some mugs.
Yeah.
We're good.
May or may not. But anyway, it's there anyway.
Thank you very much.
Bye.